Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and today we are going to be talking about how to maximize your triathlon success with minimal training time. And whether or not you're into triathlons, you're probably going to get a lot out of this interview in terms of learning how to choose workouts and a way to exercise that's going to allow you to get the most bang for your buck and not waste a lot of time with your training. The person who we're going to be talking to today is certainly someone who has shown that you can do very, very well when it comes especially to triathlon with the kind of quality over quantity type of training approach. Sami Inkonen is with us today, and Sami was the overall age grouper champion at the Wildflower Long Course Triathlon last year, which for any of you who know about triathlon here in the U.S., know that to be not only one of the more competitive, but also one of the tougher courses really in the world when it comes to triathlon. He was the overall age grouper champion also at the Ironman 70.3 Hawaii, at the Ironman World Championship 70.3 race in Las Vegas last year. He was the age group world champion for the highly competitive 35 to 39 year old age group. And he also raced, and I believe has raced multiple times in Kona, but he was second in that age group in Kona, and raced an 8:58 at Ironman World Championships in Kona, Hawaii. And Sami is also a extremely active. Basically, he's involved with a hectic work schedule, but he was involved with the company Trulia down in San Francisco, a San Francisco based real estate search company. He stays very busy with his work life and really needs to train minimally, but is able to put out these fantastic performances despite his busy work schedule and the fact that he's a successful CEO. So, Sami, thank you for coming on the call today. I'm excited to talk to you about your training and your training philosophy.
Yeah, hi, Ben. Thanks for having me. It's a privilege and pleasure to be, and happy to share some of the things that I found useful in my own training and life.
So with this unique approach to training, let's first of all just kind of cover the bases. What is your philosophy when it comes to triathlon training and kind of melding triathlon training with your busy and successful life?
Well, first of all, I love exercising. I love going out for bike rides with my wife, running on trails and doing all kinds of exercising, and I think to some extent that has been part of my life since pretty much the very beginning. But training to me it's very different from exercising. To me, training is sort of goal focused activity to really maximize your performance on a race day. And to some extent, it appears to me that a lot of people exercise to prepare for a race. But when I train, I would say there's probably two key ingredients that most often is surprising to people, particularly other triathletes, when I talk about my training. And I think the first one is I take a lot of recovery so that I'm almost always either fully or very well recovered to start a new week. In other words, I don't really sort of dig a huge hole over 2 or 3 or 4 months of very hard training and then try to miraculously recover over 3 weeks or 2 weeks of taper and hope that come race day I'm super fresh. So that's probably one thing that's often quite surprising to people when I talk about my training, taking a lot of recovery. And then two, secondly, which is probably even more surprising to people, is I really train about 10 hours a week, even to a 10 or 9 or 8 hour race such as Ironman. And many other similar recreational athletes who do this stuff for fun, and particularly those who aim for the kind of results that I aim, train 20 plus hours a week. So that's probably the other thing, that I train way less, but I sprinkle a lot of intensity into my training. So those are probably the two things that most often are picked by others, and people have a lot of questions of how's that possible and why are you doing it that way.
How long have you been involved with triathlon, Sami?
It's a good question, yeah. I had my very first triathlon in 2004 when I was in business school at Stanford. One of my friends encouraged me to just sign up. So that was 8 years ago, and I literally had zero experience with, for example, swimming. I could barely float in a pool. 4 months before I signed up, and funny enough, it was a wildflower long course that I signed up 4 months before the race. So that was 2004, and I didn't even own a road bike. I bought my first road bike from eBay, a Trek bike, for about $900,000.
Nice.
That was 2008, 8 years ago. And then during the business school, I did one or two races a year for 2 years. And I co-founded Trulia, and life was so hectic, and I moved to San Francisco, and I thought it's impossible to figure out where to swim and where to bike. So I actually had almost 3 years that I didn't do any triathlons for 2 years about. So out of the last 8 years, I've raced or done races for 5 years, and 2 years I was kind of off.
Gotcha. Basically, it's not like you grew up as a extremely competitive swimmer, cycler, you know, cyclist, runner, and you're relying on years and years and years of honed in experience. This is, you know, triathlon is something you got into relatively late in life, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So I guess I'm getting to be an old man by now, but doing the math, I guess I was 29 when I did my first triathlon. It would be wrong to say that I didn't do any sports and I just sort of ran out of the office and started exercising. I grew up in Finland, and, you know, definitely outdoors was a big part of my life, and did some cross-country skiing, that kind of things. But when it comes to specifically cycling and swimming, I really had no experience. Obviously, running is something that all the kids would do, and I played a little bit of soccer here and there, so yeah. I was an active child.
Yeah, that's interesting that you bring up the fact that you think that a lot of people focus on exercising as a way to prepare for a race rather than really doing exercise sessions that simulate what's going to be experienced in race day, and you know, I suspect that's a big, big key to your success. But let's go ahead and jump down into the nuts and bolts. When we look at a typical week of swimming and cycling and running, and how that philosophy of doing race-specific preparation works for you, what's a typical week look like for you? A typical one of these, you know, kind of like 10-hour training weeks for something like an Ironman?
Yeah. So let's see where I start. First, looking at sort of overall the week, like I said, I probably train when I'm really training 10 to 12 hours a week. And then when I'm taking easy and may not do a longer workout during the weekend, it might be 7 or 8 hours a week. So that's sort of the overall volume. And then I pretty much all the time work out in the morning. So I train about hour to hour and a half each morning during the week, and then a little longer workouts during the weekend. And I can say this exclusively, only train once a day.
Mm-hmm.
I can probably count it with one hand's fingers in the last 3 years that I've done really two workouts a day. So that's on a high level. In addition to that, I basically take one day fully off, and then maybe there's another day that's very, very easy. So about two almost complete recovery days per week. And then in terms of specific workouts, swimming, I try to get to pool three times a week. There might be one sort of a real one-hour workout, and the others are 30 minutes or less, which I usually do after running or after cycling, so I don't need to waste time going to shower 2 times or anything like that. So maybe 3 times to pool, and one is a little longer workout. And then go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to interrupt you about swimming. You know, when you say like a longer workout, like a 1 hour workout for swimming, I know a lot of triathletes, specifically like Ironman triathletes, for the 1 hour swim, for example, they might just get in the water and literally, you know, swim for an hour, just steady. Is that what you're doing, or do you have certain sessions that you do for an hour of swimming?
I never do anything like 1 hour steady. I don't think it's a good use of time. If I'm on a vacation and I'm by a beautiful lake, maybe I'll do once or twice a year,
right,
swim an hour in a lake, open water. But I don't think it's a very effective and efficient use of training time to just swim 1 hour, particularly in swimming, because as we all know, the water resistance is so high, so technique plays such a huge part, in way bigger part than fitness relative to biking and cycling. And if you really want to get your technique right, even if there's no coach standing by the pool, doing shorter intervals and sets where you really focus on your technique and kind of focus on your technique gives much better bang for the buck. So I never do 30 or 60 minutes of straight swim.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
And if you want me to continue your question, sort of just go quickly through the sort of swing, bike, run, what do I do?
Yeah, definitely.
In a week. So that's kind of the swim. Biking, I only ride once a week outside, and that's usually Saturday, and it's sort of a semi-social ride with my wife. It could be anywhere from 3 to 4 hours. And then I do 2 additional rides on a trainer, about an hour, sometimes hour 15, maybe sometimes hour 20, so sort of 70, 80 minutes on bike trainer. And these are the real interval sets that I do, so 3 bike rides a week. And then running, usually 2 real runs. One is a little longer during the weekend, but even for an Ironman, I very rarely run more than 90 minutes at a time, so hour and a half. So it's 2 real runs, one is a little longer, and another one is some kind of interval set. And then I might sprinkle a few 10 or 15 minute runs here and there. It might be, you know, running to my pool for 10 minutes and then swimming there for 30 minutes and running home, or it might be like a 5 or 10 minute quick break, or just flexing my legs after being on a trainer. But it's mostly 2 real runs and then some very short ones. So that's kind of how the 10 to 12 hours when I'm really training, where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
About hour and a half each morning, and then on the weekend, it's a 3-4 hour ride, and then maybe there's an hour and a half run on Sunday.
Yeah, that training once a day philosophy, I think, is something that perhaps a lot of people don't really realize how much extra time that can free up alone, just in terms of not having to shower twice and prepare for a workout twice and, you know, do everything twice in a day, which I know adds up for a lot of Ironman triathletes. So, you know, as far as swimming, what's an example of a swim session or a swim strategy that you would say gives you the most bang for your buck from a time management perspective, like a favorite swim session or a swim approach that you use that you think works really, really well in allowing you to maximize your time in the pool?
Yeah. Well, first of all, like I said, I absolutely didn't grow up swimming, and I'm a pretty crappy swimmer, very crappy swimmer still, so I don't know how qualified I'm to answer that. I did swim 56 minute something Ironman swim 3 weeks ago in Sweden, in a wetsuit. So it's an okay age group of time, but I'm no swimmer by any means. But what gives most bang for the buck? Well, first of all, like I said earlier, water resistance is so significant compared to air when you're running and biking, that technique rather than fitness, I think, is so much more important. So I would say, with very limited time, I would say frequent 20 to 25 minutes. Yes, this short. Frequent 20 to 25 minute swims throughout the week. That would include very technique-focused swimming with the snorkel, which helps very much with the body positioning, and then maybe something like
with a snorkel.
10 times 50 yards with the snorkel, yes. Mm-hmm. And then maybe something like 10 times 50-yard sprints with some recovery. You can do that in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. If I could do that 5 times a week, I'd be extremely happy. I think something like that could have amazing bang for the buck. So if you would swim that 5 times a week, that's 100 minutes, so 1 hour, 40 minutes swimming a week, which is probably as much as one big master set, I mm-hmm. think that would have a huge, huge impact. And if you could do it, let's say you go and do some treadmill running at a gym, and the pool is right by the treadmill, it's very... But the transaction cost of hopping into the pool from the treadmill is very low. You need to take a shower once, then just need to change your running pants into swimming pants. So something like that would be very time efficient. And the reason I say that is, one is in that 20 minutes, you can do a little bit high intensive, like the 10 times 50 yards. And then the reason I mentioned snorkel is, I think the body positioning in swimming, given the water resistance, is probably the most important factor in how fast you will move in the water. And I found that as a crappy swimmer, moving your head when you breathe makes it very difficult to really sort of optimize and learn the feel when you are very straight and smooth and you sort of glide downhill in the water. But having a snorkel and doing relatively easy steps with the snorkel, it has been very, very helpful for me in trying to find the right body position. And that's certainly something I learned from an open water swim coach. It wasn't something I discovered myself. Mm-hmm. But that would be my piece of advice to others who don't come from a swimming background.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, how about cycling? In terms of cycling, a cycling session or a cycling strategy that you think is best when it comes to time management and quality when it comes to triathlon training?
Yeah, I think my staple workout is it's a 60 or 70 minutes in a trainer. I hop on a trainer, which you know I have in my bedroom or other bedroom, luckily not in the main bedroom. Mm-hmm. 15 to 20 minutes of warm-up spinning, you know, ramp up the watts a little bit, and then about 20 minutes of actual interval time. It could be 10 times 2 minutes, 5 times 4 minutes, 4 times 5 minutes, whatever. I don't think that's so important. And then a couple of minutes of recovery between each interval. But you accumulate about 20 minutes, depending on how close you are to the race and what kind of race you're training, the power and the effort may change, but basically hitting 20 minutes hard. And then for me, that could be 5 times 4 minutes at whatever, 370 watts, 360 watts. Doesn't matter what the watt size is, very individual. Mm-hmm. And then maybe there's the 5 minutes of cool down spinning. It takes 60 or 70 minutes, extremely effective. It's hard, but it feels fitness like nothing else. And I've seen that happen to me year after year. And a lot of the research that I read and what other coaches who subscribe to sort of the higher intensity philosophy, I hear them saying similar type of things.
Now, do you do more of your cycling training indoors?
Like I said, I only ride outside once a week and then 2 indoor sets in-house, inside. So right. Frequency-wise, yes, definitely more on trainer. Time-wise, I might do a little bit more outside because once you go outside at the weekend, I rarely ride less than 2.5 or 3 hours, so I probably accumulate right. more time
gotcha.
on the saddle. But it's riding outside is extremely time inefficient unless you happen to live in the middle of a forest with beautiful paved roads with no stop signs and no traffic lights, mm-hmm. and even then you have downhills, and it's difficult to do those intervals without interruption. So me discovering the CompuTrainer 2008 was like a massive change in my training and also a massive change in terms of results. It was the best thing really for me living hectic life and living in a city. It's an absolutely fantastic tool.
Yeah. So like the copy trainer, indoor cycling, and kind of avoiding a lot of that management of having to get ready to ride outdoors and deal with traffic and all those issues, it sounds like has worked out pretty well for you as far as that goes. How about running? What have you found to be some of the keys to good strategy for running?
Actually, very similar to cycling. I would say if there's one type of workout that I would not like to skip if I'm preparing for a race or triathlon of almost any distance, it would be a 50 or 60-minute run where I do, similar to cycling, 15, 20 minutes, easy running, some easy sprints, some drilling, just to sort of warm up. And then accumulating maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes of actual interval time. And for running, something easy could be 10 or 15 times 1 minute with just a 1 minute recovery, best average pace from start to finish. It's a very hard workout, but it builds fitness very, very fast. And surprisingly so, it doesn't just build fitness for, you know, 5K race. I use this type of workouts for even for Ironman, and although this is totally anecdotal, this is how I trained the 3 weeks leading into Ironman Sweden 3 weeks ago, and I ran 256 marathon. My longest training run was 90 minutes before the race, and my interval sets were basically running 300 or 400 meter intervals on the track, so 60 seconds at a time with 1 minute recovery, 10 or 15 of them, trying to keep a sort of average strong pace from start to finish throughout all those 10 or 15 intervals. And it's just all my, whether it was my threshold pace or my easy fat burning Ironman pace, everything just kept going up very, very rapidly. So that would be my time efficient prescription for run training based on my own personal experience.
And certainly something that is not maybe mentally easy, but far less time consuming than the type of sets that you'll hear a lot of, you know, triathletes who are training for Ironman, especially doing, you know, like, you know, 3 1-hour sessions a week and then another 2 to 3 hour run on the weekend, which is fairly typical among the Ironman training crowd. So it's interesting. You're doing a lot similar to cycling, a lot of the shorter intervals. So you mentioned that you do quite a bit of recovery. You take that full rest day a week and you track recovery quite a bit. Do you use specific tools to manage recovery, whether it be to track recovery or to actually enhance your recovery on those days that you are recovering, like, you know, foam rollers or compression gear or things of that nature?
Actually, when it comes to especially the recovery tools that you mentioned, the simple answer is none. I really use none of them. And based on the research that I've read, most of the recovery, what I call recovery crap, is pretty much overrated, whether it's ice or compression or painkillers or you name it. You can spend unlimited amount of money and unlimited amount of time sort of doing all kinds of tricks. There's really three huge recovery tricks, if you will, that I use and that have worked, and there's research that shows that they work. And the three things that I really use for recovery is, one, and the most important to me, is sufficient sleep. That's when you produce growth hormone and all other great things happen in your body. So just sufficient sleep. And two is the right kind of real pure food. So nutrition, and no nutrition tricks. It's just right real food right after exercise, right after training, and throughout the day. And then three is just sufficient number of those easy rest days. So to me, those tricks, if you will, those are the three things. And everything else is either nothing or rounding error compared to those three things. And every time I miss one of those, especially if I miss for a longer period of time, things start really falling apart. And the sleep is probably the at least that my body is most sensitive to, and I've certainly tried living off of 4, 3, and 5 hour nights of sleep, and it's just a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. So those are the building blocks that I have used for recovery, and has worked very well. And another thing is, so sort of a minor thing, but when you're living a very, very busy life, you know, I may have an hour and a half in the morning to do something. And even if I have a recovery day, I do try to invest that into some kind of useful training. And typically that means swimming, because it's so technique focused. So if I take a Monday off, which usually is my rest day, it doesn't mean that I don't do anything. It might mean that I walk to my pool and then I do 20 or 30 minutes of very easy drills, swimming drills in the pool, which doesn't really create any kind of metabolic stress in my body as far as training goes. But I can still use that 60 minutes that I have in the morning, 6 a.m. or whatever time I go, to somehow improve and train towards my race. Someone might call it active recovery, but I just call it trying to use the time efficiently rather than just sit and read the morning newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned in terms of real high-quality food as being one of the components that you consider to be important for recovery. Do you actually have a specific diet that you follow?
Not really. I'd call it the lifestyle. Outsiders will look at my eating, and they may say, oh, wow, you really have a kind of a special diet. But for me, it's lifestyle, and it's pretty simple. What I eat and do is I eat lots of fast carbohydrates during and after workout, and that could be in the form of, you know, gels, oatmeal, white bread, whatever it is. Lots of fast carbs during and after workouts, because I'm going to get most out of my workouts, particularly when you do high intensity. And almost exclusively your body is using carbohydrates as the fuel. There's no point in trying to do high intensity intervals and then you have to cut them back 20 or 15% intensity because you aren't fueling the sugar needs that you have. So around workouts, lots of fast carbs. And then throughout the day or all other meals, it's very simple. Just a huge amount of vegetables and then protein from fish or chicken or beans or something else. But that's very simply. So I lots of carbs around workouts and then veggies and I guess you could say lean proteins. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, but very, very simple.
Yeah, so you're keeping your blood sugar levels from fluctuating too much by timing those carbohydrates to be more around the workout than
and it's also
before you go to bed at night.
And you want to, and I've noticed there's many other reasons why I do this, but one is the ability to focus. My head gets very distracted if I start shooting fast sugars into my bloodstream, whether it's soda or whatever it might be. So I feel much more focused and balanced and better energy. But also, it's important to fuel your muscle cells with carbohydrates. You don't want to fuel your fat cells with carbohydrates, and one way to avoid that is to make sure that all this sugary stuff that you do need, you only take it around your workouts, as opposed to in the evening before you go to bed or 5 hours after the workout.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, in terms of training, many triathletes are big into data and tracking and doing most of the bicycling intervals with power or the running intervals with speed or GPS. And are you using many tools when it comes to power meters, heart rate monitors, GPS, etc.?
Good question. A fair amount. I'm not a huge fan of GPS while running, especially when you run outside, because terrain changes so rapidly, so the pace is all over the place. But the things that I really use is power on the bike. So that could be Combitrainer that shows power. I also use PowerTap, especially when racing, and then if I do key workouts on the road. So power is a very, very useful, has been a very, very useful tool for me that brings objectivity into your cycling workout. And then in running, I actually do a fair amount of my intensity workouts on treadmills. And again, it's like power meter. It brings objectivity. You set certain pace and you run 2 minutes there. There's no slacking and there's no changing. And the weather and the conditions don't really change. So that's on running. And then heart rate monitor would be the third thing that I do use on the bike and on the run and even in racing. But it's more of a tool to see what's happening in my body. I don't really prescribe workouts for myself based on heart rate. I use power and pace, and then heart rate tells me that is everything okay? Have I recovered? Am I hydrated? Is it too hot? Or some of those things that are pretty well reflected in your heart rate.
Right, right. And you also, I noticed because I visited your blog, and by the way, for those of you folks listening in, I'll link to Sammy's blog. He's got some great articles on that as well about his training and other concepts as well. It's over at sammyinkinen.com. I'll link to that in the show notes for this episode. But I noticed that you also use RestWise to track recovery. Is that something you're still doing as well?
Oh, yeah. I definitely should have mentioned that. It's a really nice, simple tool. Well, I don't know if simple is a fair word. It's complicated, I guess, on the back end and the algorithms, but it's very simple to use. And what I use that for, and I started using it last year, is for tracking recovery and bringing objectivity to recovery. I've done a fair amount of, as might be clear from a lot of my answers, a fair amount of high-intensity training, and although the volume is much less, you can definitely do too much of it. And I think I was doing a little bit too much of it a couple of years ago, and I wanted a way to be more objective about, is my body really ready for another or the next hard session? And RestWise, I've found to be such a tool that if you just, you know, there's a couple of questions each morning that you answer, and it blocks out the number, percentage from 0 to 100%, how well recovered you are. And, you know, after using it for several months, then I sort of developed a much better internal sensor and ability to, when I wake up, I kind of know, okay, how's my body feeling, and is it time to actually do the workout I was going to do, or should I take a day off or just do a very, very easy recovery workout? But I would encourage people to check it out. I'm not sponsored or anything like that, the athlete by them, so it's just a tool that I found to be useful, and it's pretty cheap and easy to use.
Yeah, we've actually had those guys on this podcast before talking about their system. So I'll certainly link to that for folks as well. Sammy, we're starting to run short on time. This has been great information so far, but I'm curious, are you honing in on another Ironman here, or what are your plans next?
So, like I said, I did Ironman Sweden 3 weeks ago, which was really my first real race this year, because this year has been a little special in terms of my time use and what I've been able to do. And
how did Sweden go?
Oh, it was an amazing race. I do have to say, I went 8 hours 24 minutes in an Ironman, which was way faster than I expected, and on top of that, became the overall amateur champion, which made me very, very happy. And as a result, I also got my Kona slot, which I didn't have before the race. So I took it. So in a couple of weeks, I guess 4 or 5 weeks from now, I'm going to Hawaii to give another shot there and see how things go there. But that's really the only race ahead of me, and I'm excited to go and challenge myself and have fun on the Big Island again.
Awesome. Well, this is a unique training approach, but one that has obviously freed you up to have a lot of success in business. And you also, I believe, have a family as well, correct?
Well, I have a wife. That's the extent of the family I have. And we have no puppies or kittens or kids, just two of us.
Okay, gotcha. But you're still up to quite a few other activities outside of triathlon, as I can tell over on your website. So, folks, I'll provide some resources for you in the show notes here and link over to Sami's website. But just an amazing example of what you can do in terms of maximizing your triathlon success with minimal training time when you actually have the correct training approach. So hopefully today's podcast just gives you a little bit of insight into how you can set it up and how somebody like Sami, you know, does the, you know, amazing 8:24 at Ironman Sweden. When was that? 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Is that what you said?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and be the overall amateur champ, and certainly keep your eyes on Sami in Ironman Hawaii this year as well, where I'm sure you'll be able to watch him do more amazing things. So, Sami, thank you so much for coming on the call today and sharing this stuff with us.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was fun, and hopefully there's some nuggets of information to your listeners. Thanks so much for having me.